That was really sweet. Thank you, guys. I love that last song. I love it. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for, Lord, for blessing us with just an awesome worship team. It's so neat to see our youth, Lord, playing and just leading us, God. I thank you for Stace and just all that she and Brenna and ZJ and Clara and Benj and Grace do, and it's such a blessing to turn and use our gifts for you. And I pray that each one of us, God, would do that, that we would take the gifts that you've given us and just use them for your purposes and use them to glorify you and to lead others into your presence or even into a relationship with you, God. I just pray that you would use us. That's what this is about today, God, is just using us. And I pray we would just surrender to you. I pray, God, that your Spirit would just come and fill this place, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and that, again, you would just be with all of our family members that are not here today and just bless them, God. And I thank you for providing such a great family to be a part of, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, all right, open your Bibles to Mark, please. Chapter 11. This being Palm Sunday, I want to talk about the triumphal entry, and we're going to read in Mark chapter 11, the first 9 verses. All right, let's read. It says, "And they approached, as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here.'" So he gives the disciples this simple task. They're to go and untie this donkey, bring it to Jesus. And this simple, the small little task that they give, that he gives his disciples, has huge ramifications. As most of you are aware of the story, Jesus, he would ride back into Jerusalem on this donkey, and we call it the triumphal entry, where Jesus comes in, right? In the crowd, we know the story, right? They're shouting. We kind of already talked about it. They're waving palm branches. They're shouting Hosanna. They're all excited. Why? Because they think that Jesus is going to come and save them and rescue them and deliver them from their oppression. And so they're welcoming their king in, and as you know, the story doesn't quite end that way. And so this small little task of going and getting this donkey has huge ramifications. And by Jesus riding into Jerusalem on this donkey, he is, do you remember the passage? What are they fulfilling from the Old Testament? There's a passage in Zechariah 9, right? And I'll read it to you. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See that your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation." Let's stop it right there. So here, if we read that passage, we would think, man, our king is coming. We are delivered. He is going to come on a white horse. He's going to come in with a sword, and he's going to set us free, and we're all going to march out, and we're going to have freedom and victory, right? That would be amazing. And so we're all going to get palm leaves. We're going to shout, "He's coming." You know, this happens so much where people just pick and choose scripture, right? And they pick a small little portion, and then they... I remember a long time ago, the prayer of Jabez came out, right? And so the books were written and all these things were done, and things would, if you just prayed this prayer, all of this stuff was going to happen to you, you know, and you'd be blessed. And so man has a problem with taking little bits and pieces of scripture and then just running wild with it. And so if we finish this passage in Zechariah, it says, "So yes, your king is coming to you. Righteous, having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Oh, wait a second. I don't know about you, but no, John Wayne never came riding into town on a donkey.
I've got to, you know, this kind of changes the context a little bit, right? So here we have in Zechariah this exact prophecy of relating to Jesus, and it's being fulfilled right here in this passage that we're reading from in Mark. This little task, Jesus says, "Hey, go into town. Right when you get into town, you're going to see a donkey, you know, a colt. I want you to bring him to me." And when the people question and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" Just tell them that the Lord needs him, right? So go and untie this donkey. And of course, the disciples at this time, they have no clue. They're just like, okay, you know what? We're being obedient to the Lord. And Jesus, he tells them, you know, again, if they ask why, just tell them that the Lord has need of them, has need of the donkey, all right? And this, to me, is an interesting concept. The Lord chose to put himself, and he still does, in the place of neediness, if you think about it. He chose to put himself in a place of vulnerability. So the Lord, he says, tell them that the Lord has need of a... Why? Does Jesus need a donkey? No, he doesn't need a donkey, right? I mean, he could, if he commanded, he could fly in there on the wings of angels, right? And totally take this place, right? But he doesn't. He says he's in a place of vulnerability. The Lord has need of him. And you know what? This was not the first time that we see Jesus having need of something or borrowing something, if you will. Remember, he was born and laid in a borrowed manger, right? As a newborn baby. At the end of his life, he was placed in a borrowed tomb, in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, right? He preached from a borrowed boat, okay, on the Sea of Galilee. He distributed miraculously a borrowed lunch of a young little boy and fed the multitudes. I love this, that the Lord chooses to put himself in a place where you and I are partnering with him. And I love that. He's chosen to put himself in this kind of place of neediness, if you will. He says, if any man asks, say that the Lord needs him. I need that donkey. Can you relate to that? We know what we are, right? We know how stubborn we can be, okay? I love this. The fact of the matter is that donkeys are unclean animals biblically, right? They're unclean. And I love the fact that Jesus says, I need this donkey. Jesus needs me. I resemble a donkey. I can be very stubborn. I can, I've been called the other term that donkeys are often, referred to. I know what I am, and I can be as stubborn as a mule sometimes. But there's hope. Jesus needs that donkey, right? He needs me. He needs us. And the Lord chooses to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I put the scripture references on the back of the bulletin, but from 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Why? Why does he do this? So what did the passage say? So we can't boast. We can't boast. Look at how good I am. Look at what I can do. You know, no, it's not about that at all. He chooses the foolish things, and he does this so that he can receive the glory and not us. And, you know, so here we're told these disciples, they are obedient. They go. Let's pick it up. Verse 4, it says, and they went away and they found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and he sat upon it. This is interesting to me. Jesus is in need of a donkey, just like he's in need of us, okay? We're his hands, we're his mouth, we're his feet, his eyes, right? We're the body of Christ, the Bible tells us. If he's going to reach people, if he's going to touch folks, if he's going to help others, it's pretty much going to be through you and I, through his body, his church. And he lives in us, He works through us. He puts himself in a vulnerable place, but he knows what he's going to do. Okay? If Jesus is going to guide us, even ride us in a sense, right? He's going to guide us. He's going to lead us. And it's going to be in a way that he's intended. He's got a plan. And it's interesting. I mean, this is true in my life, and I know it is in yours. We always say, Lord, use me. Use me. I want to be used by you, God. And I want to do whatever it is that you want me to do. And I want you to impact people's lives through us, through me, through this church. And in order for that to be done, when I look at this passage, in verse 4 it says, they found a colt tied at the door outside, and what did they do? What does it say? They untied it, right? So they found the donkey, then they untied it. So in order for God to use us first, he has to first loose us, set us free, if you will, in order to use us. Okay? So obviously we're going to take a look at this donkey and what God did and what Jesus did with his donkey and relate it to, and I should say me. I won't just say us because I'm not calling you donkeys, but I'll call me the donkey, okay? So in order to first use me, he's got to untie me. He's got to loosen me. And I think of immediately in John chapter 11, Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, right? Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, okay? Most of you know the story. Jesus, he stands at the tomb's edge after he had wept for his friend, and he cries out and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And I think that's interesting, too. We could do a whole message on just that statement, Lazarus, come forth. What if he just said, come forth? Who knows what would have happened, right? But he's very specific, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. He does this amazing deed of resurrecting Lazarus from the dead. And then he says to his disciples, this is really fascinating to me, he says, now you guys go and unloose him, unwind him, untie him. He's in his grave clothes. Unwrap them. Set him free from this. Here's your part. He says, I brought him to life. Now you, my disciples, go, my friends, go unloose him. Do you see the ramifications of that statement? Do you see what that does for you and I? Jesus is saying, I need you. I want you, I'm commissioning you, I'm even privileging you as my disciples to take a part in this and go and unwind him, okay? Set him free from this captive state that he's in, this bondage. That's what this is about. You know, the prayer meetings we go to, the visitations we go on, the phone calls we make, the people we may talk to in the grocery store, you know, when we're waiting in line, whatever it is, as the body of Christ, when we're being used, you know, we're partnering with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is leading us, and we're delivering that message. We're helping set the captives free. Have you ever led somebody to Christ? It is the most crazy, amazing experience to be in that situation and watch somebody accept Christ. To share that verse, to share your life story, to whatever it is that led to that moment, and then see that person, the light come on, and they say, I need Jesus. Pray with me. How do I accept this Jesus? I want this Jesus. And then you share that, and I don't know about you, but I remember that day when I got saved, and that overwhelming joy that overcame me, and I was different. I was changed. And there were people that played part in that. And in my life, it was just this crazy year-long process of God just dropping these little seeds, you know, through his people, that when it finally came, all of those little puzzle pieces came into one big picture, and I thought, oh my gosh, look at what has happened in my life. And so here, we have this part. The Holy Spirit does the work. God does the saving, but he uses you and I to share that. It's powerful. He uses us to help set these people free. we have an important role to play in that. And before a person can be used, you know, or is as ridden, you know, before God and the Holy Spirit would guide us, we have to be released. You know, it says they found the donkey, they untied the donkey. Before you and I can do this, we need to be set free. We need to be loosed. And we need to realize that as people, as the body of Christ, we need to be that. We need to go out and set people free. We need to share the truth. The word is the only thing that changes people's hearts. The word of God. You and I can't change. We can't save anyone. But we can share the word of God. Think about the power that the word of God has to change somebody's life, and you're holding that. How much do you know it? How much is it so ingrained within you that when you walk up to somebody, you can immediately start sharing, oh my gosh, you know what? Let me tell you about this story in the Bible, how God dealt with this, or whatever the case may be. And here we have that power to help people. But you know what? We've got to be loosed ourselves. The blinders have to be taken off of our eyes. The chains have to be broken. We have to be set free in order for that to happen. And we need each other in order to do that. We need the body of Christ to be operating in its capacity. And, you know, some of us don't want to be a part of the body. We want to be the lone ranger. We kind of want to go out and do things ourselves, but that's not how God designed it. God designed us to be part of the body of Christ. I don't know about you guys, but when I struggle, here's an example. Last night I went and I did a wedding for a very dear friend. And at the reception, there was a friend of mine that I have been friends with since almost the day I moved here in 1992. And he wasn't it. I did this wedding for sisters, okay? I did the older sister, I did her wedding in October. And then the younger sister, I just did her wedding last night. And so this one friend of mine didn't come to the first daughter's wedding in October, but he came to this wedding last night. And so his wife came up to me and she's like, hey, would you talk to him? You know, he's really struggling. She goes, I'm shocked he even came here. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on? You know, this guy's a pillar in his church. He's active. He's, you know, on the outside, he looks like he's got it all together. And, but she said, you know what? He really could use, you know, some fellowship time with you. And so I thought, all right, you know, so he came over and we started talking and we shared. And within just a couple of minutes, he's broken and he's isolating and he's struggling. And because he is who he is at his church, he can't talk to anybody. He can't be real. Because if he's real, then people are going to judge him. And then he's going to feel bad. And just, you know, so internally, this is his perspective. So he just isolates and he internalizes. And so when I looked at him, I kind of laughed and I said, oh, dude, I know exactly where you're at. I get it. You know, let's talk about it. And so we spent probably 30 minutes or so talking. And he's like, we need to do lunch. Let's do lunch. And so here, God put me in this position where I could talk with him and I could say, hey, you're not alone. But he thought he was alone. And he isolates. I mean, how many of us go through that? Where we're sinning or we're struggling or we're stumbling, whatever the case may be, and then we tend to just slowly isolate. Oh, I can't go to church. I can't be around these people, or I can't do this. You know, or, ooh, if I do, then they might ask me questions. Then I might have to answer them. Or I might have to just lie. But whatever the case is, we as a body are designed to love one another and help one another and help loosen one another. In the things that we're going through. And so, and we do this again because this is how God designed his church, to love one another, to lift one another up. And so little tiny things that we do can have huge impact and huge significance. These disciples ran to go get a donkey, a colt, okay, the lowest of the low, right? They had no idea. Some 2,000 years later, we'd still be talking about that very act. I mean, come on, that's huge, right? So this little tiny thing, maybe last night, maybe my buddy got a glimpse of, you know what, okay, I'm not alone. I got to stop isolating. I got to, you know, maybe God used it just a small little conversation to give him something that he needed. How much more in all of the lives of everyone that we're touching today, and we're around, could that little tiny act do? It's huge. A small little act could have huge ripples, huge effects later. And the Lord wants to use us, and He wants us to be unbound. Just like He wanted Lazarus unbound, He wants you and I. And so here we have this issue. If we're going to be used, we need to be loosened. But not only that, as a donkey, I need to be redeemed. Okay, there's a difference here of just being loosened and redeemed. We need to be redeemed. If turn your Bibles to, well, I'll read it to you. You can turn it there if you want. Exodus 13, chapter 13, verse 12. Jesus, He's going into Jerusalem, right, during the Passover. For the Passover, He'd be crucified on the Passover. And as this chapter, as this verse in Exodus 13 relates to the Passover, we find this little tiny scripture tucked away, and it says, Exodus 13, 12, "You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All of the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord." So here, the firstborn males belong to the Lord. And not only that, but it includes people. It says the firstborn of your son, of your sons, are dedicated to the Lord. So the Lord is to have first place. Okay, He's priority. We're to dedicate, and in this time, the people were to dedicate their oldest son, their firstborn son, to the Lord for some kind of priestly ministry, and he was to be set apart. Now, if you know the Old Testament and you know how this all works, that changed a little bit when Moses comes down from the mountain and sees all the people dancing around the golden calf. There's a little bit of an issue. And it kind of changes things. I mean, we won't talk about that today, but up to that point here, the firstborn of all the just children were to be dedicated and set apart to serve the Lord. Just like then, he says, the firstborn of these animals are to be set apart and for the given to the Lord. But in verse 13, he mentions something I found very interesting. He says, "Redeem with every lamb, or redeem with a lamb, every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck." Okay, wait a minute. A donkey is an unclean animal, but yet they're being told to redeem, with a lamb, every firstborn donkey. I mean, a donkey was unclean, but it did serve a very important purpose. I mean, they were servants. They were pack mules, right? These things did a ton of work, but they're a servant animal, okay? Do you see the significance just in that statement? We could stop here because of just that statement. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. Wow. These unclean animals can be redeemed by a lamb. How significant is that? That blows my mind. It says, if you don't redeem them, break its neck, kill it. So if you're not going to redeem this animal, not only will it just not be used, but you need to kill it. You need to put it down. I mean, that's harsh, but here, the positive message is that an uncleaned animal can be redeemed by the lamb. I am referring myself to a donkey this morning, a mule, a stubborn mule, and there's hope because I can be redeemed by the Lamb. And we know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, right? We know this. We may act like donkeys sometimes, but the Lord wants to use us. The Lord wants to use us nonetheless. He wants to guide us day after day into this situation, into this location. It's the small things, again, that we may do under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that may have huge impact later. Man, before the Lord can use me, before He can guide me, He has to release me, right? I got to be untied. I got to be unshackled, unbound. That's where the church comes in, the body of Christ. And before that can happen, I have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're entering in this Passion Week. We're celebrating. We're saying, Hosanna, I am thankful that God chose to become a man. He chose to be the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God, as Jesus is called, came to take away my sin so that this unclean animal can be redeemed. It's powerful. We see this all the way back in Zechariah. We see this all throughout Scripture, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice, the final offering, has been made so that we can be cleansed, we can be redeemed. It's powerful. Jesus died in yours and my place. Wow, I've been redeemed. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God chooses to live within each one of us that surrenders to that Lamb. That's powerful. Man, Jesus wants to take us places. He wants to use us to impact others. He wants us to help unwrap and set people free from the garbage that they're in. You have the power to do that through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus. The question is, have you been set free? Have you been untied? Are you still trying to walk around in a mummified state of bondage? Jesus is here to set us free. This is the triumphal entry that you and I have today. This is that we can walk and we can be used by God by the power of His Holy Spirit because of what He has done for us as the Lamb of God. Amen? That's powerful. I don't know about you, but that's triumphal entry to me, that I can walk. The fact that I can even stand here and I can deliver a message of hope and of salvation is an act of God. The fact that you are here listening to it only means that the Holy Spirit of the living God is drawing you to Himself. None of us can even in our flesh desire to want to know God. So the fact that we're sitting here is because we have all experienced a triumphal entry in some way. And I hope that this morning you can find hope in that. I hope that no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter how challenging it may be, no matter how discouraged you might be in something, find hope that you have been set free and that you are part of a body of Christ and that God wants to use you and He wants to set you free from whatever it is you're struggling. All you have to do is just trust Him. Trust Him. Just pray. If you're struggling, reach out to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and let them bless you. Let them help unwrap some of those things. The Scripture tells us there's wisdom in many counselors, right? And so the body of Christ can do powerful things. So find encouragement this morning. As we sing our last song, really just give it over, whatever it is you might be struggling with, to God, and find a place of rejoicing this morning, and that you too are experiencing a triumphal entry every single day that you turn your life over to Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I do thank You so much that you didn't come in on a horse with a sword and taking names, Lord. And I'm so thankful that we serve a humble God, a God who left His throne to become a man, to take the punishment for my sin. I don't get that. And I'm so grateful, God, that I can't understand that. I don't understand that depth of love, but I am so grateful for it. And I pray this morning that You would be glorified. I pray that every single one of us in this room, Lord, would turn our cares over to You, turn our fears over to You. Lord, turn our insecurities over to You. Whatever it is that we're struggling with, I just ask, Lord, that You would set us free, that Your Holy Spirit would unwrap the stress and the fear and the anxiety or the doubt, and that You would just give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we need You. We are such a needy people, and we are lost without You. This morning we praise Your name. We thank You for all that You have done and continue to do for us, and we look to You for our wisdom, our guidance, our salvation, for our understanding, our compassion, whatever it is, God, that we need, we look to You this morning.
And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.